How are we doing this morning, Wake? Hey, who has some really fun plans for the 4th of July? I see like three hands. Any of you guys have some really, really fun plans for the 4th of July? What are you doing for the 4th of July? Going to Pine Cove. What are you doing for the 4th of July? Rough Riders game. Anyone going to shoot off some fireworks? Man, you guys, some of y'all need to figure out what y'all are going to do for the 4th of July. But, all right. Bring it back in, guys. Hey, we are continuing our series. There's more to the story. And so I'm going to be sharing with you guys this morning from John 10. So I love John 10 and the series that we're going through. We're explaining the why behind the stories that Jesus told. And so Jesus actually shares a story in John chapter 10 about a sheep and a shepherd, and I love it. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. But first, I want to ask a question to all of you guys. Who in here, just by show of hands, who has a dog? Okay. All right. Who in here has an outside dog? Just outside only. There's a big difference, I think, between an inside and an outside dog. All right, a few of you guys. Okay, here's my thing. I think inside dogs, typically, not all, but they're kind of, you know, the size of like a football. They're kind of just like loud, and they'll just kind of like bite at your heels. They're kind of like the perfect size to just like punt. I would never do that. Let me be abundantly clear. I would never kick a dog, but outside dogs, they're just built different, right? An outside dog, they're strong. They're just built for the hot weather, the cold weather. They don't need AC or baths. They just live outside. All right. So here's the thing. Growing up, I had a dog, and her name was Sandy. She was an outside dog. I got a picture of her right here. This is Sandy. She actually got this turtle right here, brought it in. She was trying to eat that turtle. It didn't go very well for her, but that's Sandy. So Sandy was an outside dog. She was a golden retriever and a lab mix, okay? So Sandy was a golden retriever and a lab mix. And in order to have an outside dog, you have to have something. And in order to have an outside dog, you have to have a fence, right? And so we had a fence that we kept Sandy in. We lived on an acre of land, and she could go around all around this, you know, area, find turtles and other different things and bring them back to us. But one day, we left the gate open. Hate to see it. So Sandy took off into the sunset, right? Sandy went and just started running. So we all jumped in our cars, didn't realize it for a little while, but then we kind of saw her like down the street, got in our cars, started driving, and we went after Sandy. And after about 45 minutes of driving around, calling, yelling out, didn't ever see her. I never found her around the neighborhood, never saw her. So went home that night, and honestly, guys, I went home and I just cried. I was so sad. I was like, man, Sandy's gone. I started praying. I was like, Lord, if you just bring Sandy back, I promise I'll be the best dog owner. I'll walk her twice a day. I'll make sure that I always, you know, do all the chores. I'll be the best owner to Sandy ever if you just bring her back. I was making all these wild prayers that I wasn't actually going to follow through on. But the next morning, we went to bed that night, and again, I was really, really sad because I thought Sandy was gone, and my whole family loved her a ton. And the next morning, we woke up and never saw her again. She was gone. I'm just kidding. She came back. That'd be a really sad story, right? I know. Sandy came back. Good dog, right? So the next morning, I get up and I walk to the back door, and Sandy is sitting there against the back door, just curled up, kind of in a ball. And I was like, man, we immediately closed the gate, and she lived the rest of her life with us until about 3 or 4 years ago. She passed away. But the rest of her life, Sandy stayed with us, and she stayed in our fence, and we got to love her and care for her. But I was so excited and happy the next morning when she came back home. But I think there are a lot of parallels. I tell that story because I think there are a lot of parallels to that story and what we're about to read in John chapter 10. So if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 10. All right, if you have a phone, that's great, but just try to actually be only on the Bible app if you're on it. But just spend some time with me in John chapter 10, and I want to make some connections to that story about Sandy and our fence and the gate and running away, and I want to make some parallels to also what we read in John chapter 10. So let's start in verse 1, John chapter 10. Stay with me. Words will be on the screen. All right, it says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." And so let's pause right there. Verse 1, it says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees. So Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. We've talked a lot about Pharisees over the past few weeks, but they're just religious leaders who loved the law. They loved the law so much that they made even more laws, right? They were strict rule followers. And so Jesus is trying to tell these Pharisees who he is and what his character is. And so moving on in verse 2, he says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So, right, Jesus lays out this picture, talks a lot about sheep and shepherds, and the Pharisees are like, "I don't really get it." And so to explain some more context for you guys, back in Jesus' time, sheep and shepherds, that wasn't just like a job that you had being a shepherd. It was a lifestyle, right? And so they had these huge pens and these areas where they would keep sheep. And I think we have a picture of one. But they would have these huge pens, and the shepherd would sit at the gate, and he would essentially become the door. So the shepherd was the door. He would sit there, and he would let all the sheep out, and he would make sure nothing got in as well. And so literally, the shepherds were the gate for the pen where the sheep stayed. But not only did the shepherd, was his job to protect the sheep, he also knew the sheep, right? So like, say there were 100 sheep in this pen, that shepherd would know those sheep's name, and then he could call them out by name. So if there were 100 sheep in there, he could call out 10 of them, and those 10 would come outside of the gate, but the other 90 would stay back. Because he didn't just protect the sheep, he actually knew them, and the sheep knew him, and he walked with them and cared with them intimately every single day, providing for their needs. And so these sheep trusted him, right? And so that's what Jesus is getting at. He's painting that picture for the Pharisees. And so as we continue on, Jesus is now going to kind of explain a little bit more, because the Pharisees are left questioning, like, what does sheep and a shepherd really have to do with me? And the Pharisees are wondering, and so Jesus goes on to answer that, actually. And so in verse 7, he says, "Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." All right, let's go back to that other slide real quick. So there are two things that Jesus says, "I am," in this passage. He says, "I am the gate," and he says, "I am the good shepherd." Right? Those are two things that Jesus is claiming about who he is and his character. He's saying that the only way into the kingdom of God is through me. I'm the gate that everyone has to go through, just like that shepherd sitting at the gate of that pen. In order to come out or to go in, it has to be through me. And then he also speaks to his character, right? He says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm someone you can trust. I'm someone who loves you, someone who will care for you and provide for you." And going back to verse 3, he says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out to the sheep by name, and he leads them. And when he has brought them all out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice," right? The sheep know his voice and they listen to him. The sheep know his voice and they listen to him. And he says he's the good shepherd. And so I want to make it very clear that I think listening and following is all about trust, right? Listening and following is all about trust, because Jesus is the gate. He says, "I'm the gate," and he says, "I'm the good shepherd." And so we have an opportunity to believe, hey, is that true? Do I truly believe Jesus is the gate, that all come in and through him? And do I truly believe that he's the good shepherd, that he's someone worth following and that his character is loving? And I think going back to my opening story, right, I said there were some connections between Sandy running outside of that gate and coming back home. And so when that gate was open, you know, she left and she ran. But ultimately, she trusted, right, us, her owners, her family. She trusted that the boundaries and what we were creating for her and the life that we were giving her was better than what was offered outside of there. She came back because she had a trust in who we were and how we had cared for her. And she may not have been able to do everything that she wanted to do, right? When a squirrel would run by on the outside of the fence, she couldn't go get it. When the mailman would drive by, she couldn't go chase him down. Or I couldn't go explore the neighborhood whenever I wanted to without any rules or a leash or all of these other things, right? But at the core of it, she trusted her owner. She trusted who we were and how much we cared for her. And that life was better for her inside of the gate rather than outside. And I think Jesus, in a similar way, is trying to explain this to us in John chapter 10. And look what he goes on to say. Okay, we read it once, but I just want to go back verses 9 and 10. And really pay attention to this. He says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I want you to, if you have a Bible, underline find pasture. Or write it down in your notes. He says, they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so I just want to even pause there, right? He says, they will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is saying, all who enter in through me will find that. And so the question kind of there remains like, hey, what is pasture? What does that mean? Like, I don't think any of us are actually going and trying to find pasture, right? You don't see a green patch of grass and go, that's awesome. I'm gonna go hang out over there. That's from Jesus. He provided that for me. I really want some pasture. Nobody says that, right? But looking in Psalm 23, this is a famous psalm. Some of you guys have maybe heard this before. But David writes, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There it comes up again. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then the last part, he says, he refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. And so we see this connection that David is making to pasture, to lying down by quiet waters. And we see that man, entering into a relationship with God is a refreshment to our hearts and our souls. That his way leads to life, peace, and joy, and rest. And I just want to ask the question this morning. I know there's a lot of things going on this summer. We're really busy. We got camps going on. 4th of July. You're probably ready to just get up and go to lunch and get to celebrate the rest of the weekend and continue to enjoy your summer. But I just want to ask the question, man, has anyone in here ever struggled with feeling worry, comparison, selfishness, jealousy, bullying, sadness, or overall discontentment? Right, I think if we're honest, most all of us would say that at least one of those emotions we've experienced, maybe even this week. Right, like we may not actually want pasture in what we think that word actually means, but the rest and the satisfaction and the joy that comes from following Jesus, the reality is, guys, that every single one of you genuinely craves that. I crave that. I crave finding rest, peace, and joy in Jesus alone. But I often try to find it in other places apart from the Lord. And I think for a lot of us, if you claim, and I would even say this to myself, if we claim to have a relationship with God, if we claim to say, hey, I believe that God is the Savior of the world, And I really do, and I've invited him into my heart, and I want to have a relationship with him, but we never experience joy or peace, I would really have a check on, man, what does my relationship with the Lord look like? Because it's one thing to just accept Jesus into our hearts and say, hey, I'm good. I'm going to go on and live my life. And we can do that, but we will miss out on finding pasture. We will miss out on finding rest and joy that the Lord offers us. Why? Because we don't follow his commands. He's given us his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. It says in 1 John 5, he's given them to us so that he can ultimately, we can find life in them, and we can have a relationship with him. And I think, you know, at the end of verse 10, it says, the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. And then I've come that you may have life and life to the full. Right, the thief, it says very clearly, the thief, the devil, the enemy, he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, to spread lies, to make you believe that you can find life in anywhere else other than God. He's the one that's saying, when that gate is open, run for it, go for it. You know what's best for you, and you know where you can find life. And I think the reality is that for most of us, we're like, man, yeah, I really want some pasture. But just like Sandy, when that gate is open, we take off and we run. The moment that we think we can get away, or we see something that we really want, and we go, ooh, I actually know that's probably not best, but it looks really, really enticing. It looks really, really good. I'm going to go, and I'm going to chase after it. And we run, and we leave, and I'm telling you guys, it ends up every single time leaving you with more scars and less joy. When we chase after things outside of God's goodness and outside of his will, it leaves us with more scars and less joy, but we chase after it every single time. And I do this too, and even an example I would share with you guys, right? Like last, or I guess a week ago was Dallas Experience, okay? So I got home from Dallas Experience, ton of fun, but I was really, really tired. And so this past week, we're working, and I go home, and my wife is there. She's working from home right now, and we have a seven-month-old. Her name's Lucy. And so when I get home, days are really, really long, and my first instinct when I walk through the door is like, man, I want to get some rest. I think that will be best for me. If I just like can sit on the couch, chill out, watch a video, just literally like turn my brain off. I've been working all day. I'm really, really tired. But my wife, right, I come home and she's got a seven-month-old who's crying, who she's been caring for all day, who she's also at the same time been working. And she's like, hey, I need a break. Like, I need you to take Lucy. And there was a point last week where even I came in the door and I knew, I was like, man, Lennon probably really needs my help right now. But I'm really, really tired. And I kind of saw that gate, right? I saw the gate and the opportunity to go and satisfy and feed my flesh. And I said, I'm just going to sit on the couch for a little while. And I ended up watching a Ryan Trahan video. And I'll tell you guys, I'll be honest. I was trying to stay up to date with everything my man Ryan was going. He made it to Mr. Beast. But here's the deal, guys. In that illustration and in that story, right, I craved and chased comfort. Right, the thing I wanted so much right there was comfort and to satisfy my own desires. And so I think there's probably even some similarities, maybe for some of you in this room, with Ryan Trahan videos, but that we often make sacrifices to feed our own flesh and our own desires when we have an opportunity to make sacrifices for others. And I neglected serving my wife and my seven-month-old daughter so that I could seek comfort and rest where I thought I would find it. And that is truly a picture of John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because what he wants to do is put as much separation between me and my wife as he can. He wants to have her come out and see me sitting on the couch and watching a video and being like, man, Jonathan, how in the world could you come home and know that I'm in the back changing Lucy's diaper, or that she's crying, and not come in and serve us. But what I love about this passage and why it's one of my favorites is because Jesus so clearly states his character, right? And he gives us a ton of promises in the midst of it. We chase idols day in and day out, and I think at the core of it, right, we have a trust issue. And I mentioned it earlier. Trust is all about, do I believe that what someone else has for me is actually best? Do I believe that God has my best intentions in mind? But I also love that Jesus says, he doesn't just say, hey, I'm the shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He can be trusted that his character is perfect. He's saying, hey, I'm someone that can be trusted because I am good. And he lays down his life for the sheep. And so a lot of you know that to be true. A lot of you know the gospel and you understand it, but does it actually change the way that we make decisions on a daily basis? Does it actually change the way that we don't chase after everything that we immediately think is best for us? Because, guys, the main point that as we wrap up today that I want you to walk away with is that Jesus has given us rules to follow, not to rip us off, but to set us free. Jesus has given us rules to follow, not to rip us off, but to set us free. Because ultimately, he's given us his word because he wants us not to follow. And like my desire, right, in having Sandy was never that, okay, I'm going to create this fence and I'm going to make sure she never gets out and I'm going to treat her super poorly. And life may be better for her outside of this fence, but I'm going to make sure that she listens to every single word that I say and I'm going to create this strict rule following inside of this fence. No, I wanted her to enjoy. And I wanted her to find life and care in our family inside of that fence. Because God's given us boundaries similarly in a way that when we follow and walk in them and stay in them, that we find more joy and less scars when we actually walk inside of his boundaries. And so, hey guys, focus in on me. I know y'all. I know the crazy creeks are fun to play with, but I'm genuinely, this is the one point I hope you walk away with today. That God has given you his word, not to rip you off, but to set you free. That when you actually walk in according to what God's word says, that it is refreshing to our souls. One of my favorite verses, and this is the last verse I'll share with you, Psalm 19:7. It says, "For the law of the Lord is refreshing to my soul." And at the core of that, I don't know if I believe that every single day. I don't know if I believe that when I walk in after a long day of rest, that I'm going to find rest in serving. I think I'm going to find rest in laziness. I don't know if after I get really upset and I really disagree with someone that I'm actually going to find rest and peace in having a conversation with them or serving them or laying down my life for them. But instead, I'm going to get really angry or upset and I'm going to hide that and I'm going to just grow bitterness, or I'm not going to choose to listen well, or whatever those things for you guys may be. Right? The law of the Lord is refreshing to our souls, and God's given it to us so that we can find life and peace and joy in him. And so that is my biggest encouragement to you. And so I would encourage you to go and spend some time in John chapter 10 this week. Right? Because the Bible's not a rule book. It is a place where we can find how to have relationship with him. And at the end of the day, that's all that God wants from us, is for us to be in relationship with him. In the same way that I love Sandy so much that I wanted her to come back that day after she got out, and all I wanted was to be in relationship with her again, that she would trust and know that I was good. And God wants the exact same things for you guys. He wants you to know and trust that he is good and that he loves you and that he's given you rules to follow. Not to rip you off, but to set you free. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to be in relationship with you by sending your son to die for us. That you are the good shepherd who sent your son, who laid down his life because of his character. Lord, I pray that we would trust that character in our daily lives. In the decisions we have to make, in the conversations we have with other people, in the way we honor our parents or our siblings, that we would trust that your word is refreshing to our hearts, that you love us, that you are the shepherd, the good shepherd, and that the only way in to entering into a relationship with you is through the gate, which is you. Lord, I pray that that would be true of our hearts, that we would think about that this summer in the way that we serve others and spend time with you. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.